Okay, I'd like for you to turn, please, and we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and if you would, put a ribbon here, because we're going to come back later. First Timothy chapter 3. As those who have called on the name of Jesus Christ, we get to be a part of and participate in the greatest thing that's ever been. And that's the body of Christ. February is going to be kind of, I think, Body of Christ month. Maybe March too. That's going to be what we're going to be looking at our weekend. But there are just so many great truths to understand. And this morning, what I wanted to look at, and I want to call it Christ. It's where we meet. Well, let's just start in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, and we are going to read verse 14. Start in verse 14. It says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." We're going to consider that in a minute, but we're not considering so much the first part of this verse, and that really has to do with leaders in the church, which is what this is preceded by. Okay? But it says, "Behave thyself in the house of God, which is the what?
Church.
It's the church of the living God." It's the church of the living God. I love that. The pillar and ground of the truth, or the pillar and support of the truth. Now, we're going to see a little bit more about this church. But just in light of what we've just read, how that church is the pillar and support of the truth. Let me remind you of some verses many of you are familiar with. In John chapter 4. Remember when Jesus Christ was speaking to the Samaritan woman? We looked at this a few weeks back. The time is coming when they that worship God will worship Him in what?
Spirit
and in what? And in truth. Jesus Christ, when He was speaking to the Pharisees, who had some issues, but to those that believed on Him, He said, "If you abide in me, or my word abides in you, you shall know the what?
Truth.
And the truth shall set you free." Isn't that something? And specifically in that context, it's the truth regarding sin and the freedom that Jesus Christ came to bring. In John 14, Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Isn't that something? So with those things in mind, let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're just going to look at a few things regarding that church, His body. I never tire of these verses. I've read them 1,000 times. I just don't tire of them because it's just so magnificent. The truth of what it's saying is, it just makes your brain explode. You know, when you really stop and think. In verse 17, this is a prayer. And in verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches, or what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Isn't that something? You know, that you would know, that you would know the hope of our calling. That's our hope. That's where this thing lands. That's what it's all about. All this stuff is temporary. That's what it's all about, the hope of our calling. And then his inheritance in the saints. What is that? You know? But that's how what God considers us as. Isn't that something? His inheritance. He inherits us. It's just... Anyway, then it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, this world or age, but also in that which is to come. You know, we often see where the world doesn't recognize who Jesus Christ is, but the spirit realm does. They recognize who Jesus Christ is. Isn't that something? Above every name that's named, every principality, every power, every authority. That was a major change that took place when Jesus Christ accomplished what he accomplished in the spirit realm. It's really incredible. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but that is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the what? Church. To the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. He fills all things in all people. Christ. It's Christ. The more that we understand this, and we're going to consider this in a moment, about growing in him. Because all of us come from different backgrounds. We look different. We have different understandings of certain things, or different opinions of things. You know, we have different weaknesses. All of these things are just a part of the flesh. But we meet in Christ. See? Because regardless of my background, regardless of my weaknesses, regardless of my likes and don't likes, I'm in Christ. And my end is to be forever with him. You are in Christ. And your end is to forever be with him. Isn't that awesome? We're all doing this together. As different as we look individually, we are doing this together. See? And as we grow up in Christ, what happens is we see, or what is becomes less visible or less significant, are our differences, the things of our flesh, and what becomes more significant, more real, really important, is Christ. See? We're going to the same place. Do you understand? It's just, it's awesome. It's awesome. I want you to look, let's go to chapter 2 and read a few verses here. Let's read verse 18. It says, for through him, meaning Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is referring to the Jew and the Gentile. The Judean and the Gentile. Both have access by what? One Spirit. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the what? Of the household of God. The household of God. Isn't that something? We read something like that in 1 Timothy, didn't we? Something about the house of God. Didn't we? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And really what that means is, it's Christ. That's really what that verse means, chief cornerstone. It's Christ. He is the measuring rod. That's what the cornerstone was. When the cornerstone was set, that was your level for the building, and that was your plumb for the building. What they had to do was get that cornerstone perfect. Isn't that cool? And then everything came off of that. You know, today we have levels and lasers and all kinds of stuff. But everything comes off of Christ. Everything is lined up with Christ in this church, in that body. Isn't that awesome? And here's why. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of what? Of God through the Spirit. See? Isn't that something? That's where God dwells. That's where God lives. See? And so when you read these things and you begin to, you know, grow in understanding of what the church is and of what the body is, you begin to see what this thing should look like. I mean, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. But it is the place where we come to see Christ. It's the place where we come to grow in our understanding of his love. It's where we see, and we'll see it in a minute, that's where we see the height, the depth, the length, and breadth of the love of Christ. See? Isn't that cool? That's what it looks like. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And then we're going to come back to Ephesians in a minute. But I wanted to read this. Ephesians chapter 3 reveals regarding the mystery, what had been a mystery. One new man in Christ. In verse 25. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. Which is the what? Which is the church. See? Boy, Paul's life, that's what it was. You know, he poured himself out for the church, for the saints. Whereof, verse 25, I am made a minister according to the dispensation or the administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now this is revealed in Ephesians regarding the mystery, that the Jew and the Gentile would be one new man based on Christ and Christ alone. His body. Isn't that something? And that mystery was so significant that it says in another place in Corinthians, I believe, that the devil would not have even crucified Jesus Christ had he known. Another place in the Word, it says, all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are hidden in that mystery. Isn't that something? Another place it says, angels look at this church to see the multifaceted wisdom of God. You see what we're a part of? It's incredible. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Something? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ in you, that Spirit of God, that Spirit of Christ, that new birth Spirit, named a number of things, is that hope of glory. It is the absolute proof. It's the token that you and I will be glorified with our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And bring glory to God. And all we did was believe on Him. That's what we're a part of. That's what this church is. That's who we are among. We are among, every one of us will be gathered together with Jesus Christ. Every one of us will be with Him when He comes back to the earth to reign on this earth. We'll be with Him. But that stuff's real. It's more real than this. This is nothing. This is temporary. You know, but the adversary is always knocking at the door to make the temporary look like the big deal. Make that look like that's what life's all about. You know, we all know that, right? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Warning. Every man, and that word warning is to admonish, to put in, to teach. Warning or admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Okay. That we might present every man mature. That's that word perfect. Present every man mature in Christ. Mature. Let's go to Ephesians. With that in mind. Boy, it sounds like the kids are having a good time down there.
Sounds like I heard a dinosaur moving down there.
Maybe. Ephesians 4, verse 7. We're going to start here. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Let's go down to verse 11. Verses 9 and 10 are a parenthesis. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, or for the equipping of the saints. These are examples of ministries that were given to the body of Christ for the equipping of the saints. And then we're going to read on here. Because it's sort of neat. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, till when? Till we all come in the unity of the believing and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That will happen at His return in the day of Christ. And when Jesus Christ is done, when He's done, He will present us to the Father. Isn't that something? But until then, we grow. That we henceforth be no more children. Okay. Now, we have just read, remember, in Colossians about presenting every man mature. Growing up, really. It's a nice way to understand it. Growing up. That we're henceforth not children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching. So there's a comparison being drawn here. And the being blown about by, you know, everything that comes down the pike is likened to a child. You know? You know, those of us who have children, it's like, look at me. Look at me. It's like, look at me. Just right? Yeah. Well, it's kind of like that here. You know, with every wind of doctrine. You know, look at Christ. You know, but we grow up. You know, we grow. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But truthing, the word speaking here, it really should be truthing the truth in love. You know, that truthing the truth is really neat, because it's all encompassing. It's so much more than speaking the truth. It's living the truth. It's an open heart. There's a freedom to this. It's the opposite of lying not one to another. You know, and that lying not to one another, because it's the old man, put off that. It's not just words. It's a lot more than that. You know, it's when we put up fronts because we're concerned about what somebody might think. We do this because we're concerned about, you know, somebody liking us or loving us or respecting us, or we want to win approval, or we want to win somebody's affection. Do you understand? All that stuff comes into play in lying not to one another. This is truthing the truth. Isn't that cool? We live it. Our eyes are on Christ. Now, sometimes we fall short of that. You know what we do?
Get up and do it again.
Isn't that great? Just get up and do it again. See? And then we help one another. That's the point of our getting together. We'll see it in a minute. That's the point of this. We help one another to do that. You ever have a bad day? Verse 16. Or let's read 15 again. But truthing the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. He's the head. From whom? From whom who?
Christ.
The whole body, fitly joined together, or knit together, perfectly knit together. And, oh, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Fitly joined together and compacted or knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want to read that in the Working Translation. I think it's going to be a little easier to understand. Verse 16, from him, referring to Christ, the entire body, which is framed together and united by every joint of supply. Isn't that something? It sounds a little like members one of another. Causes the growth of the body by the measurable working of each single part for the edifying of itself in what? In love. Now I'm going to tell you, the more you look at this church, the more you see what a huge deal love is. That's where it's at, is love. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Now, let's go to, we're getting there, but I want you to turn now to back to chapter 3, and I'm going to read a few verses here. Ephesians? Another prayer, yes, chapter 3 of Ephesians. We're going to begin in verse 14. This is just so awesome. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is not in the critical Greek texts. So it reads, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, or by the faith, the believing, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes or surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that something? And that takes place in the church with all saints. That's where that takes place. That's what the church should look like. Where it's a place of love, it's a place of forgiveness, it's a place of growing, it's a place of healing. That's what this should look like. We pray for one another. We make intercession for one another perfectly. That's a big deal. We need it. Anybody here not need prayer?
I think I'd be in trouble if I said that.
I think we all would be. And to know the love of Christ, which is beyond or surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You notice all these things are plural? It's interesting, huh? Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. See? Boy, I tell you, when we walk like this, when we keep our eyes on Christ, you know, in this church, Christ is, He is the gatekeeper of our mouths. You know why? Because we're rooted and grounded in love. We're built up in Him, in Christ. See? And more, we get to the place as we grow where we don't see each other according to the flesh. But more and more we see each other in Christ. Isn't that awesome? The more we grow in this, the more you see yourself in Christ. And the stuff of the flesh that bugs you, that holds you back, that bothers you, that, you know, those things just, they mean less and less. And we help one another to do that. That's the point of our meeting. That's the point of our getting together like this. Isn't that awesome? We hear manifestations. We speak the word to one another. Each one of us has an integral part in this body in Christ. And we say and do things as God works in us that ministers. And you walk out of that thing and it's like, wow. Right? You know, how often have you seen where, you know, people come, you know, they come to a fellowship and a lot of times they don't even remember what was taught. They just remember the love of God. It's like, you know, it's just so awesome. And that's what it should be. That's what it should be. There's no, well, I could go on and on. We got a couple of months yet, so. Okay. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I did want to read this. I kind of jumped ahead of myself, but that's okay. Great section here regarding that one new man, but in verse 17, and it's whatsoever you do in word or deed, word or work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know what it means, basically, simply put? To do all that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's to do those things that promote Christ, that promote His interests, that bring reverence to Him, and that are out of reverence to Him, that honor our Lord. That's what it is to do what you do in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that simple?
Yes.
It's to bring honor to Him. See, so we conduct ourselves in such a way as to bring honor to Him, you know, and that's what we do for one another. That's what we do for one another. Hebrews 10, and then we'll close. We're going to go back to 1 Timothy, but I wanted to read this great, great verse, a great couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 10 deals with some wonderful things regarding the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And not only was he the sacrifice, he's the priest, the high priest, and some pretty neat stuff. But I wanted to go down to verse 23. The King James reads, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith or of our believing." What it should read is, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope." That's what it reads. Let us hold fast, hold on to it, the confession of our hope. Without what? Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. I love that. So we hold on, we hold fast the confession of our hope. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. That's the end. That's what Romans talks about, Romans 8. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's eternity. And he's faithful, that promise. So we hold fast to the confession of our hope. Let us consider one another. Let us and this word consider means to behold, to, you know, gaze on, to think about. Consider one another to provoke unto, what's it say?
Love.
Right. Love and good works. This word provoke, there's a negative and a positive. It probably, we would understand this better as, you know, maybe inspire or stir up. You know, man, when the world comes knocking at your door and it never stops, it never stops. You get with saints, you get into God's word, you just love one another. Sometimes it's just spending a little bit of time together. See, but it stirs up some things, you know? Doesn't it? It does for me. You know, when I fellowship with saints, when I'm fellowshipping with saints, you know, I walk away so many times, it's like, I'm good. I'm good. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm in Christ. An hour ago, I thought I was an idiot. You see, and we do that for one another. That's what we do. And we stir up, we provoke unto love and good works. Isn't that awesome? And that's what takes place in the church. Those things take place in the church. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the what? The day approaching. Isn't that something? See, because we're confessing that hope. We hold fast under the confession of that hope, and that day is approaching. You know, and this assembly is the same word that's translated gathering together in Thessalonians. I beseech you by our gathering together unto him. Same word. So it's kind of like a mini gathering, you know, where that Spirit of God works in us. It's where God lives. We say and do things that help one another, that heal one another, put one another back together, inspire one another. See, all those things take place. And let's close back in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's a great thing we're a part of. Pretty awesome. If I tarry long, verse 15 again, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the support of the truth. And without controversy, there's no controversy about this, there's no argument. Great is the mystery of godliness. And then it should read, which was manifest in the flesh, justified or made righteous by Spirit, by God, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. These things are true of Christ, and they are true of us, because we are his body. See? We manifest Christ. We make known Christ. When we walk like this, when we grow up in him, and we give people an opportunity to believe. And the day will come when we're going to be received up. It's true. You know? What a day that'll be. See, but that's what we're a part of. That's what this church is. You know? And boy, you know, the adversary, he's good at what he does. He talks us out of it. Talks us out of it. Don't have time. Don't have this. Don't have that. See, but what happens is, you know, you just get chipped away at. Just get chipped away at. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. See? You know, get with the saints. Get with believers. Spend some time with saints. Speak the word. Keep growing. Right? So, all right. Amen. So I'm going to pray.